Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. And your San Antonio Spurs are still off. They're going to be away from the court for quite some time, so enjoy the time away from silver and black. Look, the Spurs probably need a break. I'm pretty sure you need a break as well from some Spurs basketball. But they'll be back January 22nd versus the Toronto Raptors in Toronto. I wonder who will be playing in that game. Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. Kawhi Leonard. But other than that, it's time to look back at the season, at least the first leg of the season, and start looking at the individual players. You know, who would you say is the most important down to maybe, you know, not so important? Colleague of mine, Jim Lefkoe, who will be on the show shortly, had an interesting column about that particular topic where he ranked all the players as best as he could. And needless to say, it got some strong react from social media. I think one of the words used was grabbing at the bottom of the fruit tree or something like that. We'll talk about that and more. Also, we're going to be discussing quickly Greg Popovich. He got a huge honor. We're going to discuss that right now. So I'm going to bring on Jim Lefkoe, my colleague over at News 4 San Antonio. Jim, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And Popovich, wow, he got himself a big honor. Do you want to break the news to the listeners?
Well, I think the Air Force Academy is going to put them in their Hall of Fame, and that's well-deserved. Any honors that come his way are a testament to two-plus decades of playoffs run, five championships, and you know, generally the recognized as the best franchise in the NBA for almost a quarter century.
Yeah, the Air Force Academy, a couple of days ago, by the time you're listening to this show, announced the candidates or the class of 2019, and Pop was among them. He lettered in basketball, Jim, and that famous photo of him floating on the internet, black and white, of him wearing his Air Force uniform. Good job. For me, though, it just tells me his time towards the end of his basketball career is coming to a close already.
Well, Hall of Fames are kind of career achievement awards, and last I looked, he's 70.
Yep.
And, you know, I would think he'd be the first to admit that most of his best days are behind him, and it's been a lot of debate on how many more years, if any, he has coaching the Spurs. So I think the decision is his. He certainly is going to finish this season, and don't be surprised to see him reevaluate when the Olympics roll around. But he's been a great ambassador for the military, and, you know, he had a great career as an athlete, and has distinguished himself ever since he left Colorado.
Yep, well-deserved honor for Coach Pop. I believe it's later this summer or next month. I think it's March or May. Needless to say, Popovich will be happy to probably go back to his old stomping grounds. He's going to be headlining that class, so kudos to him. Okay, so let's dive into the main event, and that is, Jim, your topic. Basically, with the time off, as I mentioned in the intro, it's time to look back and reflect on how the individual players were doing. And to nobody's surprise, you ranked LaMarcus Aldridge as number one as far as importance for this squad.
Yeah, that didn't take a lot of brain power.
Yeah.
I kind of made it a most valuable player award.
Okay.
And that can encompass a lot of different things. But in my opinion, value is not just a statistical analysis, but also the impact they have on the team and their teammates and ultimately the win-loss column. And I think Aldridge, with you know, the big explosion he had, that 56-point game, the All-Star nod, you know, carrying the freight most nights, yeah, he's number one, and there's a big gap between him and whoever number two is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the real debate comes in after LaMarcus, because I can't imagine too many people would disagree that he's not been the most valuable player, you know, through the first, we call it the halfway point, but we're beyond the halfway point. We'll just say the All-Star break, the mm-hmm. two-thirds point of the season. He's the man. He's number one.
Yeah, look, he is the lone NBA All-Star, for the San Antonio Spurs. That game will be this weekend. And that is just reflective on what he has done for this Spurs team this first leg of the regular season. His 50-plus point outing versus OKC, the first in his pro career. You know, he leads the team in double-doubles. He leads the team in rebounding. You know, he's been the rock. He's been the one guy that you can point at on this roster and say, you know what, I know what I'm going to get out of him day in and day out.
Right. It is nice to know that you're going to get probably 20 and 10 most nights. He did have that slump, you know, the start mm-hmm. of the season. The first month or 6 weeks was a little rocky. But I think, you know, you usually revert to the norm, and that's what he did, and his shooting percentage came up. Obviously, he's a great free throw shooter. He's been solid on the boards. So he's led the Spurs in all the categories you'd expect him to lead, and he's got a pretty good little race going with DeMar DeRozan for scoring honors. Right now, they're about a fourth of a point away from each other, and you know, DeRozan's right now number one, Aldridge number two, but the gap's been narrowing, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Aldridge ends up the season as the leading scorer on the team, as well as leading rebounder, leading block shots, and basically just the team leader. So a lot of reasons to point to him as the most valuable Spur, and again, I think most folks would probably agree with that. There'll be some that disagree, but that was the easy one. Getting 2, 3, and 4 was what I found to be a little bit more difficult.
Well, let's go ahead and dive into that difficult portion of the column. And by the way, for those of y'all who are interested in reading it, please go to the Spurs Zone located at News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com on the internet. It's a great read, a lot of fan react, and so let's continue. So, Jim, two through four, you struggled.
Well, I did. 5 was easy. I had Bryn Forbes at number 5. I think the starting 5 is usually going to be your top 5. But sorting out to 2, 3, and 4 between the DeMar DeRozan, Rudy Gay, and Derek White, you can almost change, you know, weekly on that one. Certainly, if we'd have been talking about this at the end of December, DeMar DeRozan would have been in the discussion for the number 1 spot. But he struggled in the calendar year 2019 and seemed to be regaining his footing a little bit a couple games ago, and then struggled again, and, you know, had that kind of a rough shooting night at Memphis and missed a couple shots in the stretch where they gave it to him to kind of win the game, and that didn't happen. He hasn't been playing with as much confidence on the offensive end, but his numbers in other areas, assists, rebounds, you know, he's still playing a solid floor game. But if LaMarcus is number 1 with an arrow up, I'm putting DeMar at number 2 with an arrow down. And it wouldn't take a whole lot for me to switch him and put Rudy Gay at number 2. I know there's been a lot of folks that are on the Derek White bandwagon, and I am too, but for full body of work right now, I think DeRozan still is in there at 2, but only barely, and I have Rudy Gay at number 3. We've talked many times, Rudy's overall game, his rebounding, his scoring, his shooting. He's the one that hit that big shot against Phoenix that, you know, arguably might be the shot of the year in terms of drama, you know, that one that went through the net as the buzzer was going off, and the dog pile from all of his teammates afterwards. They just seem to play with a lot more confidence when Rudy's out there. And when he's not there, his presence is missed. And then the X factor, Derek White. You know, Pop has come out recently and you know, said he might be the second most important player on the team. And you can certainly make the case for him as well. A really strong defensive player, good shooter. I think he's still got room to grow offensively and with his assists. You know, he's second to DeRozan in assists, and there's a pretty big gap there.
Yeah.
They've missed him, you know, this last stretch where they lost 4 out of 5. You know, White's, you know, been out, and they're looking forward to getting him back after the All-Star break, and I think you'll see a rejuvenated Spurs team. But, you know, going for the full body of work and not just the last few weeks, I've got DeRozan 2, Gay 3, and White 4. I'm not sure if it's going to end up that way. A lot of fans are down on DeRozan and high on White. And I understand that, but if you look at the full, you know, 50, 60 games that these guys have in already this year, that's the way that I've got them ranked.
I want to talk a little bit more about DeMar DeRozan. He came out since day one of the regular season on fire, you know, 30-plus points. It was almost the norm for him to start the season. And now we're here where that is not the norm anymore. How can you explain? What do you think is going on with him?
I think he might have worn down a little bit. You know, he missed a few games. Not a serious injury, but just, you know, wasn't 100%. You know, by this point in the season, you know, most of these guys have played 54, 58 games. Your body's going to take some wear and tear. And I think the overall adjustment, you know, we can't point to the fact that these guys don't know each other. You know, we know that they had 7 or 8 new players this season. But, you know, this many games in, that's not an excuse you can use. I think he's been slumping. And, you know, unlike LaMarcus, who went through that shooting slump and we know he'd break out of it, DeRozan's has been extended. You know, it really started at the start of January, and here we are in mid-February. So I think here's a guy who's really looking to the All-Star break. I think Pop called his number a couple times down the stretch against Memphis to hope that you know, he would hit one of those big shots and maybe, you know, snap out of it. But both those shots looked bad. I believe the second one was an air ball. And, you know, that's a tough thing to do in that situation. You know, you got to be confident. You have to have that shooter's mentality. And I think he still has that mentality, but, you know, this is a results-driven business.
Right.
They haven't been going in. And when they start going in again with more regularity, then, you know, he'll be back to where he was. I think this is not a guy who's, you know, 22 and right out of college.
Mm-hmm.
This is a veteran who's got years of experience, and I'd be shocked if he doesn't regain his former footing. But, you know, fans can be a little fickle. And,
mm-hmm.
He's kind of getting roasted on social media, and I understand that. You know, he hasn't played real well, especially in when it comes time to win the game. And I think he's probably his own toughest critic. So I think he'll do some soul-searching during this All-Star break and come back revitalized and rejuvenated for the stretch run to the playoffs.
Yeah, there's one thing that I've been asked from the fan base. You know, he put up 35 points, you know, and they're like, well, why does he have a negative in the plus-minus? Turnovers. I mean, he's just making a lot of turnovers that's it's not helping. It's not, you know, he's just all over the place. Yeah, he's scoring 20-something points in the last few games, but then there's the turnovers. You think he's trying to do too much?
Well, and he's been forced to be the de facto point guard. You know, we talked a lot about all the changes they've had at that position. And, you know, when Murray got hurt, we knew this was going to be point guard by committee. It fell to a bunch of different guys. You know, we've seen Brent Forbes take a run at it. Derek White seems to be the best at it. But lately with White out, it's really reverted back to DeRozan. And there are times when he looks really good with the ball. I think he's it's more beneficial when he's got the ball in the flow of the offense rather than when he initiates the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Even those two late game positions against Memphis, I love seeing the ball in his hands because when he penetrates, there's lots of things that are available to him. But now that he's not hitting, teams are reluctant to double team, and he's not seeing as many open passing lanes as he used to. He's made some bad decisions, you know, when it comes to passing. He'll get himself up in the air and have nowhere to go with it.
Right.
But again, I don't think he's a true point guard, and we see that. And I think this will be one big change when Derek White comes back and assumes those roles with Bryn Forbes on the wing. DeMar can, you know, kind of go back to what he's best at, and that's kind of being a wing player. But at times he'll back down his man and get that mid-range jumper.
Mm-hmm.
He can go to the hole really well too, but the ball is in his hands probably a little too much right now. And I think it needs to spread around to some of the other players because while he leads the team in assists, as you mentioned, turnovers have been prolific lately and really kind of awkward at that. So a lot of room to improve.
But, mm-hmm.
This is a seasoned pro who's a multiple All-Star. And I think if I was a fan, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. The honeymoon period certainly is long since over, but this is a proven competitor. He's got a lot of good basketball still ahead of him.
I'm glad you're mentioning DeMar DeRozan and White together right now. The last game before the break versus Memphis, one of the final comments that DeMar DeRozan said following the win was, I can't wait for Derek White to come back. I mean, he knows, you know, that this is not the point guard position. He'll do it, but it's not well suited for him. It seems as of late, though, like there's a lot of, and obviously because of the situation with White being injured and obviously Murray, but in the last two seasons, the Spurs have really been struggling at that position, whether it be this season, injuries, last season, injuries and inexperience, Murray. You saw Patty Mills last year play the point guard. This year, we've seen Brent Forbes had to do it to start. This position, I think, if you're going to project out, Jim, into the offseason, this guy has to be on their high list of to-do in the offseason is address this issue. Because Derek White is good, but I think it still needs some beefing.
Yeah, we haven't seen the true point guard play
yeah.
here, and that's because that's not an easy position to play. You know, even when White has started at point and done pretty well, you're not seeing 10, 11 assist games from him. You see some of these, you know, these guys who are really crafty with the ball, you know, the Ricky Rubios of the world,
mm-hmm.
the pure passers, you know, Rajon Rondo, you know, go back to back in the day, the John Stocktons, you know, the guys who could score along with passing, but
mm-hmm.
we aren't seeing those pass first kind of point guards on the Spurs roster. Now, I think they think they've got the man in DeJounte Murray. And then if you're bringing one of these other guys off the bench behind him, it's a different scenario. But it wouldn't shock me if they drafted a point guard, somebody who that's their natural position. Because keep in mind, even Derek White, they had to kind of teach him a position.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't what he played in college. So, you know, you're not going to see, you know, the kind of classic point guard numbers out of anybody that's on the current Spurs roster. They just don't have that player. And in a motion offense, when the ball is moving and everybody's hitting, it may not be as important. But at end of quarter and end of game situations, when defenses are packed in and are trying to take away, you know, your bread and butter, that's when it's sure nice to have a creator. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they'll address that in the draft, or maybe again when Murray's healthy, if he plays to his potential,
mm-hmm.
he might be closer to that kind of player than anybody that they currently have.
Well, hopefully that does get addressed, and I think they'll figure it out. They got themselves two great young point guards right now, one groomed, Derek White, and one looking like that is his spot. He just busted up his ACL in the preseason, DeJounte Murray. We're going to take our first break. We get back, we're going to continue discussing Jim's recent column over at the Spurs Zone at NewsForSanAntonio.com. All right, we are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko, News for San Antonio. Jim, I was actually very disappointed Pirtle wasn't number one on your column.
Well, it was either him or Aldridge. I put the coin, and Aldridge, it came up head, so I gave LaMarcus the number one spot. But I like Pirtle.
Yeah.
I think he's had a good start, and you know, I've got him lumped in. I had Bertans number six.
Yeah.
I like his game, his shooting. You know, when he's on with that three-point stroke, you know, this is, if not the best in the NBA, certainly in the top three or four.
Yeah.
And then who knows, he can end the season at number one from three-point field goal accuracy. The rest of his game is solid. I don't know that I've seen a huge amount of improvement in other aspects of Bertans' game, but I like what he brings to the Spurs off the bench. And he's been a situational starter, you know, when injuries have forced it. So he's filled in well. So I gave him my number one spot off the bench, which was number six overall. And then I kind of lumped in the Pirtle, Mills, and Bellinelli, 7, 8, 9.
Mm-hmm.
They've all had their moments. They've all played well. You know, Pirtle's had a few starts, you know, especially early in the season. But I think his biggest value to the team is coming off the bench. We know that Mills is a three-point machine. You know, he had a great game at Memphis. You know, when he's on, he's a joy to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And Bellinelli's had his moments, too. You know, those off-balance jump shots he takes, certainly from the three and even some of the mid-range shots, they're all fun to watch. They've all had solid seasons. You know, you'd like maybe for Mills to have been a little bit more consistent than he's been. You know, he's had some off-shooting nights, too. But all three of those guys have combined, along with Bertans, to give the Spurs a really solid bench. So I, you know, you'd like to think that these guys are going to grow and improve and, you know, show more, but, you know, a couple of them are older. And I think Patty Mills and Bellinelli are, you know, we know what they're going to do. There's, you know, at the point in their career where this is what it is. I think Davis has some room to improve, certainly defense and rebounding. And I think Pirtle, you know, the sky's the limit for him. If he gets in that Spurs development machine, you know, during the offseason, who knows what he'll come back with. You know, he might come back with a sky hook. You know, who knows what skills he might develop. I like his game. I wish he hit a few more free throws. You know, we've been watching that free throw shooting percentage all year.
Yeah.
And the Spurs have done really well, but that's another, you know, growth opportunity for Pirtle. You know, get a little more consistent at the line. But he finishes well, got good hands, sets good screens. Everything that he was advertised to be. And, again, all three of those guys, solid seasons. It's been a good bench year for those four.
You know, if I'm Pirtle, I'm printing out your article right now, Jim. I'm tagging it to my locker room for some fuel, some to fire me up. I'm number one in Jim's column, not LaMarcus. But real briefly before we continue, if for those of you who want to read what Popovich had to say about Jakob Pirtle, at the All-Star break, go check my article out at NewsForSanAntonio.com, Fox29SanAntonio.com, the Spurs Zone. Let's talk about your favorite player, Rudy Gay. You're a big fan of him. You like his game. You make that very, you know, apparent. I would argue that he likely could be the second best player on importance if we're going to rank him.
Yep.
Because we've seen the Spurs sputter without him. They don't have a guy with his abilities at his size and his position defensively, offensively, you know, the clutch shooting, you know, I forget the game, but when he had that third quarter explosion to rally the troops back from the deficit, all didn't end up in a win. But nevertheless, I would say it's LMA, then Gay, then DeRozan.
Yeah, and I think by the end of the season, I'll be right there with you.
Yeah.
What I tried to do was look at the full body of work. And, you know, DeRozan, granted, he's not playing well now. He was playing great the first, you know, two, 3 months of the season. And, you know, being fans and journalists, you know, we do tend to remember what happened lately.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can make the case that DeRozan has been on lately. And everybody can make the case that Rudy has. So if this continues and if DeRozan does, you know, continue to slump or, you know, his numbers drop, and Rudy stays at the level he's been at. Yeah, at the end of the year, I would definitely agree with you. I'd put Gay, too, and DeRozan. Who knows, you know, maybe he falls to four, you know, if White comes back, you know, blazing. So it's kind of a fluid thing. But, again, I just tried to, you know, rack my brain to remember how much we liked DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
Remember a certain visit by a certain Kawhi Leonard and the game that DeRozan turned in there. And that was in January. So I don't know. If you went back and look at the stats, I'm not sure that didn't kind of precipitate maybe the slide that DeMar had. But that was an amazing, triple-double that he had. And, the optimist in me wants to think that he goes back to Toronto next week and maybe he puts up numbers similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if the trend continues, I don't disagree with you at all. Rudy Gay would be number two. And, you know how much I like him. Maybe he can Marcus for number one. So, yeah, it certainly wasn't been as a slight to him at all. I love his game. I love what he does in the locker room. You had a story this week about some off-court stuff that he does. Mm-hmm. He's a great community guy. I'm trying to think back, was it a month or two ago when Skip Bayless made an ill advice comment saying that he doesn't root for Rudy Gay?
Yeah.
And it's like, what planet did that comment come from? Because I've never heard anybody say anything negative about Rudy Gay. And I don't know. I just, I'm a big, if there was a charter member of a fan club, sign me up.
Yeah,
I think the world of Rudy.
You'd be definitely leading that charge for the Rudy Gay fan club. No, I like his game too. And as the season progressed, to see him go from season one as a Spur now to season two, to see how the leaps and bounds he's made, and again the impact that he has on both ends of the floor for the Spurs. Just him alone opens up the game for LMA and DeMar DeRozan. I mean, he's that vital to them and their play on the court. It's just the thing is that I what helped me back to I would say it's two, but also I would put him in my personal list at number two. But the injuries got him. You see DeMar DeRozan, his hot start. It was nip and tuck, and I see where you struggled with two and three, four. Four is interesting on your list, Jim. Who is that?
Well, I had Derek White at four.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if we think, with an arrow up or arrow down, White's definitely got the arrow up. And, again, depending on how far DeMar slides, that might elevate White. The thing I look at with him, and there's nothing wrong with being the fourth best player on a solid playoff team like the Spurs, especially at his young age. He's been, cast into, a tough spot here. I was surprised when I look at the stats to see him 2-4, seventh in scoring on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And, we think of him as a scorer, and he shoots well from the field, but 9.6, nothing wrong with that. I think he's got a lot of upside there. I think he could be a mid-teens, point producer each night. Three-point shooting, solid. Want to get that percentage up a little bit more. Assists, again, solid number two on the team, but if he's the point guard, you'd like to see that number a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as we're criticizing DeRozan, he averages six assists a game. And as we're praising White, he averages 3.5 assists a game.
Yeah.
So there's that. I think the other area of growth for White that might make him eventually the second most important player on this team, as some think, is steals. I think he should lead the team in that category. He is their best perimeter defender. He averages one a game, right there tied with DeMar DeRozan. You'd like to see your team leader, back in the Kawhi Leonard days, and even before that, you'd see guys get a couple a game, and you have to be really good to get a couple mm-hmm. steals a game. You have to anticipate, you have to be quick, and I think White's got the potential to grow that number as well. And the other thing with him is minutes. Right now, he's averaging about 25 minutes a game. That's a good number for him, but if you're the second most valuable player on the team, I think your minutes have to be closer to 30.
Yeah.
I think you just need more court time. The Pop's bringing him along the right way. He's forced him into, a role that he had to play. And what I'm most curious about next year is how White's going to do, alongside DeJounte Murray. I'm excited to see those two guys together. I would assume that probably would mean Forbes goes, to the bench, assuming this team comes back the way that it's fashioned right now. And that just solidifies the bench. A lot of growth opportunities for White. Like his game, love his defense, and young kid, seems to have a really good attitude. Let's hope he can stay healthy the rest of the season. But no slouch should be in number four with an arrow up. And by the time the season ends, who knows where he can end up.
Yeah, Popovich, after the win over Memphis, described life without White as a team being discombobulated right now. They have nobody to go to. He addressed it immediately, saying, when they lose your starting point guard, and he's referencing White, they become discombobulated. We talked about what White had, what DeMar had to say about Derek White. But I guess my question, Jim, is are we pumping him up too much? His body of work, it is what it is. We really didn't get to see much of him his rookie season. We know what he can do in the G League. We saw it. He was lining up. The numbers as a whole, they're kind of, they're okay.
They're modest. Yeah. I think fan base is typical. It's kind of like the backup quarterback in football. You know, the most popular guy on the football field is always the backup quarterback until he gets on the field, and then why he was the backup. I'm not saying that Dwight's a backup quarterback. I'm just saying fans have kind of fallen in love with his game, and I guess I would maintain that, yes, they've missed him during this, this four-game losing streak that just ended, but they weren't playing real well with him during that five-game winning streak that was largely at home. If you remember, there were a couple of, I want to call them fluky victories, but certainly Pop wanted to, give one of them away. And there were a couple others that they lost leads. I just didn't see that the team had been playing that well even with him leading into this. So if you go back 10 or 11 games now, they're about 500 in that stretch, some with White, some without. I will agree that they look very bad without him during this most recent, the rodeo road trip. But we need to see some consistency. And that's what's the nice thing about the break. Assuming he's healthy, they've got the final 30 games or so to make this push. They've got time to gel and come together, and I think that's going to be critical, not just for White, but for all of them, because you're judged at the end of the day by your record, and right now they're kind of more in a precarious spot than they were before that losing streak. They were pretty firmly enmeshed in the playoffs, and now a couple teams beneath them get hot, and nobody here wants to think about the possibility of being done in the middle of the latter part of April.
Yeah.
But they have not clinched anything yet, and they've got a lot of important games ahead of them, and the schedule is going to kind of turn nicer after they get back from that rodeo road trip, and there'll be a lot of home games in March. But that's kind of putting the cart before the horse. They got some good players who need to rise to the occasion and start beating the teams that they need to beat, and maybe a little bit more decisively and impressively as the season rolls on.
Yeah, I couldn't say it better than that. All right, we're going to go to our second and final break. We get back, we're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We are back, and I'm joined by my colleague at News 4 San Antonio, Jim Lefko. Follow him on Twitter, at Jim Lefko. I know during the break, Jim, you revamped your list, and you put Pau Gasol number one, right?
Number one with a zero behind it. That would make him number 10. And I did. I lumped Gasol, Poindexter, and Cummingham down there at 10, 11, 12. There's certainly a step between them and the other bench players. We don't know what's going to happen with Gasol if this is his last year. He's an honorable, classy man. I think he's brought a lot to the team. His best days are behind him. I think situationally he can still contribute. I'm not sure, again, the future of Poindexter or Cunningham. And then you go on down to the rookies below that. So, you're only going to play about, 8 to 10 players most nights. You might have a couple others that fill in with injuries. It's important to have quality people at the end of your bench. For cohesiveness, for locker room, collegiality and chemistry. And I think they've got some good guys in that regard. It's a good locker room. It's always a good locker room with the Spurs organization. And, and these are quality people. Just because we're putting them down there 10th, 11th, 12th, they're still professionals, and they're contributing in their own way. And, Cunningham has come in this season and hit some really big threes. I like Gasol in a big lineup. There have been times when they've started him alongside Aldridge, and it's worked out pretty well. But these are not going to get 20 minutes a game. They're not going to probably have a consistent role. They're there to supplement the nine key players above them.
Yeah, and briefly, Pau Gasol did address to the media, I think it was right before the break, regarding the report out of ESPN Deportes some time back claiming that he demanded a trade out of San Antonio prior to the 2019 NBA trade deadline. He refuted it. He denied it. He had questioned where the ESPN Deportes, where they got their information. Needless to say, he shot it down. Jim, has it come to this with Pau Gasol? I mean, seriously, you got fans that are not on Team Gasol right now. You got a report overseas in Spain, of all places, saying he wanted out of San Antonio. Has it come to this with Pau Gasol?
Well, I think more importantly than whether he did or didn't ask for a trade, I think is that he did restate that he wants to play a more significant role.
Yeah.
And, again, if you're critical of Gasol, then that's not a positive comment. But if you like him at all and you're neutral on him, that's what you would expect any player to say. This is a multiple NBA champion, a future All-Star, and he wants to see the end of his career, unfold at least somewhat closer than, it is. This has not probably been a real joyous season for him.
Yeah.
He was contributing pretty well early, got hurt, missed, about, 6 weeks. Came back and just didn't find a role. And, those that were hoping he would pick up some foot speed or some quickness while he was injured, that wasn't the case. It's a hard league to grow old in. And while everybody says they want to play till they're 40, it doesn't happen to everybody. And again, I wish him well. I hope the rest of the season ends up well for him. And, you know, at this point, I think I'd be surprised if the Spurs brought him back next year. They owe about $6 million on mm-hmm. I believe it's a $16 million contract. And I just don't think there is much of a trade market out there for him. You know, maybe they could get a second-round pick for him. You know, maybe not. Maybe you just eat the salary and walk away. But honorable man, I'm glad he was part of the organization. And, you know, they want to talk like he's dead. He's still a contributor. And maybe there'll be a game or two where he is on the court at the end and plays some good D or blocks a shot or mm-hmm. you know, hits that little, you know, short jump shot or hook. And, you know, he's a solid player, solid pro. So you always hope that the players you like can end their career on their terms. And we'll just see how the end game plays out.
Yeah, before we put a wrap, Bryn Forbes, I think we need to talk about him a little bit more. You know, here's a guy, you know, again, thrusted into the point guard slot because of the injury to Murray. You know, I've talked to him a few times since he became a San Antonio Spur, and one of the questions I had asked him was, oh, you know, so how's the life in Austin? You know, what are the San Antonio Spurs telling you to do in Austin with the Austin? At least then, I think it was still the Toros. Like, I don't remember offhand. Oh, I think it was the Spurs already. And one thing he kept on telling me was they're stressing for him to play the point guard spot. So, you know, it really hasn't translated yet into the San Antonio team. But nevertheless, though, he's still just as important. You know, his three-point shooting. I've noticed he's now driving into the lane a little bit more. And on occasion, he is steadying the point guard spot. Jim, Bryn Forbes, what are your thoughts?
Well, I like his jump shot. You know, to me, the magic number for three-point shooters is, can they be over 40%?
Yeah.
And, you know, he is. He's about 42% right now. Rudy Gay, I think team leader among the regulars at 43.5%, at least among the starters. So that's a pretty good number. You know, he may never, you know, touch Bertans, who's up there at 47.5%. But, yeah, that's a good number. I like his jump shot. Like you mentioned, he goes to the hole. He's got that nice little running floater. Can hit the mid-range jumper, which seems to be a priority on this team. I think they lead the NBA in mid-range jump shooters, and that's another area that Forbes is good at. You know, when he takes that pull-up from about 17 or 18 feet in the lane, man, he's money. So, yeah, I like his overall floor game. I don't think he's going to be, you know, the best defender on the court. I think he could up his game passing. You know, he averages about two or three a game assists. That number, you know, should rise a little bit. But, you know, overall, good floor game. No real criticism. Mm-hmm. You know, I had him fifth just because I like the other four starters, you know, better. But I assume that when, you know, when Murray comes back next year that we'll see. We'll see if Forbes starts alongside him, if White starts alongside mm-hmm. him, what they do. They've got some choices to make. But, you know, Forbes has played well this year. He started 58 games. Believe it or not, that's tied for the team lead with Aldridge. So very durable player. Good shooter, nothing but upside for him. So yeah. I like his game. I like his attitude. He seems very coachable, and he's another one. You know, we talk about what are they going to pick up in the offseason. He's got a lot of, you know, aspects of his game that are already pretty impressive, but he's got some growth opportunities, and I'd be surprised if when he gets, you know, a nice three-month period with the Spurs coaching staff, if he doesn't come back even a better player next year than he's shown this season.
Yeah, good things are looking great for Bryn Forbes as the season continues, which will begin again on January 22nd in Toronto. You know, that's going to be if he plays, Jim. We don't know.
I hate to correct the host here. You've said January a couple of times. We are in February.
Oh, sorry.
I don't want our listeners to think that they're hearing an old
mistake.
Old stuff here.
My mistake.
February 22nd. That's
February
the day we've all circled on our calendar.
Right? Sorry, yes.
That's the second of two, hopefully, appearances by Kawhi Leonard, who, you know, I think missed a recent game with a knee. So, you know, you'd hope that he would be around to play in that one. I think he'd want to. And since he played in the San Antonio appearance, I think he should be good to go with this long of a layoff. But we'll see. We'll see if he plays in the All-Star game or if this knee injury is really something to behold.
February 22nd. There we go.
That's it.
In Toronto.
Right.
Mark your calendars. Who knows? Maybe he could be Clippers bound by then or LA bound. Did you see that quote from Nick Nurse?
Yep,
saying that they're having to have to motivate him to get him engaged? I mean, really, Kawhi?
Yeah, we've spent a whole lot of wasted breath trying to analyze that guy.
Yeah.
And, because we don't see him every day or understand what the context of that quote was,
yeah,
that one might be better left alone. Surprising to me, especially for a player you're trying to court and sell in your city. But maybe it's a little reverse motivation, you know, kind of like you might use for a malcontent teenager, you know, where you're trying to get them to do something that they may not want to do. So I don't know. I know the Toronto's got a darn good record, and Leonard's put up some great stats, and he's still one of the top, you know, 5 to 10 players in the league. So not sure what kind of games Toronto's playing with him, but I know they're a lot better franchise with him than they're going to be without him if he leaves.
Yeah, that's definitely right on point. But again, this is Locked On Spurs, not Locked On Kawhi Leonard.
Sure.
But other than that, we need to hear from you. What do you think about Jim's recent column putting the ranking the current Spurs roster? Do you agree, disagree with him? Let him know. Jim, where can they follow you?
Well, we told them a few times now. Hopefully they're getting it figured out. But at Jim Lefko on Twitter is the best way to find me and, you know, post your quotes, your comments, whatever you think about the column that I wrote. I'm trying to write one a week to engage fans and, you know, be a little bit provocative and, you know, not just write some of the stuff that you might see on other sites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fun to have a column and to get to voice your opinion. And the fun part of that is hearing from the readers and to see if they agree, disagree, or think I should follow Pal Gasol out of town and retire along with them whenever he retires.
I saw that recent column you wrote over at the Spurs Zone. And again, I urge listeners to lobby Jim to put Pirtle number one, to revise it, come back next week and admit his fault. And he says, I'm going to have Pirtle number one, and here's why, because he's just Pirtle.
He's the number one backup center on the Spurs. How about that?
Okay, it's for me. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone or email me at JeffGarcia74. And do that to remind me again, it's February 22nd when the Raptors and Spurs play again, not January, as I said earlier. It's late in the week, Jim. It's late in the week. I'm going to chalk it up to that already. It's I'm looking at Friday already, at least
yeah,
the end of Friday.
And we've got LaMarcus Aldridge in the All-Star game to look forward to. That I don't know. I'm kind of dreading it. You know, after last year, I'm glad he's in it. I'm glad he got the nod. But the All-Star games are not LaMarcus's forte. I'm sure he'll get a little bit of run. Hopefully, he scores a couple. You know, hits a couple shots.
Yeah.
And but these games are more for the fleet of foot and you know the big name stars. So
yeah.
Let's hope he gets through it healthy. You know, doesn't embarrass himself. He's a great player. Much deserved honor. And you know, like I guess I had it. It wouldn't have broken my heart if he'd come up with a mystery hangnail.
Dry skin.
Suit up, but was there for all the hoopla.
Yeah, so. Dry skin. No, he can't got bad. The dry skin is, you know, he can't play in that Charlotte temperature. But yeah, he'd be playing this weekend, Sunday for the big event. No Spurs on All-Star Saturday night, All-Star Friday night, and I'm pretty sure if he plays a couple minutes, he'd be fine with him if he's just sitting on that bench, relaxing and soaking it in. But again, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. But for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.